Welcome back. We are the Millionaires, and you in the building with us, chilling as Halo and
Timo. We're here in the house.
Ooh. We got some big things coming, man. Look, I really want to just like jump straight into it. Cool. So today we got a special thing, a special treat, because we are doing a 5-part series. This is going to be a crazy 5-part series, and this is for the gentlemen. We're also going to do one for the ladies, but I want to have a lady to come on and, you know, cooperate these things and talk to the ladies about it, because what does a man know about a lady's lifestyle? You feel me? Roe v. Wade.
Amber Heard.
You know, so you know, we want you to be able to relate to the things that we're saying, and then if you know we're not 100%, if we're not that qualified, you know what I'm saying, to talk on things, we're gonna find someone who's qualified.
Yeah,
you know, that's what it's all about, because you don't know everything, you know what I'm saying. But when you don't know everything, that's when you go find somebody, you know, who knows something about it.
But y'all can come in and comment on it too as well. You know, if we're wrong on something, you know, we just regular guys, just like everybody else. You know, we're not perfect. We don't know everything. But we know, like you said, we're going to take this journey together, and we're going to learn some things. You all going to learn some things. You know, that's what we're going to do.
That's what we got to do. Because if we don't do that, we're doing you guys a disservice. And we definitely don't want to do you guys a disservice, man. We like I said, we want to elevate. All right. So, like I said, we're getting into a 5-part series about what a man, or, you know, what a growing man, a young man, old man, whatever, but what a man should know how to do, you know, by the time you get into full bloom. This is you trying to get into the full bloom of self. This is the things, 100 things that you should know how to do.
Now, when is there a specific time for a full bloom, like 20, 25, 30, 35, 40? Because some of this stuff, you know, some people may have 20 of the 100 by the age 15, you know, and somebody may be 50, 55, 60, and only at 35 of the 100 things.
Yeah. I mean, there's no timeline.
Just things that you work on throughout your life.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Definitely.
So legit, we're going to go every episode. We're going to go 20 points, and we'll talk a little bit about it. So there'll be 5 parts. And so if you just, and we're going to do other podcasts like in between or whatnot, but it'll be 5 parts. You know, if you just want to listen to all, you know, 100, just go to wherever you find your podcast, you know, iHeart, Amazon Music, you know, Pandora, you know, wherever you find your, we're the Millionaires. We're the only one now. If you Google us, we're the only one that comes up. So shout out to us for beating out the competition. Yes.
We did it.
Yay, now we can make a website. Hooray. So that was some good news that T didn't even know about until just now. But there's a lot of good news coming, man. So that being said, we've talked about all the particulars. Let's get into these items, man. These 1 through 20. All right, fellas, this is for you. Ladies, we're going to do one for you. But fellas, this is for you. 1 through 20. Number 1. All men should know how to tie a necktie.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. You definitely agree? Yes.
I do. Because you have so many things that like that require a necktie.
Weddings, funerals.
Right.
You know, going in for a job interview, you know, or a date, anything. There's all kinds of reasons. And not, I mean, you know, not just a necktie, I think a bow tie as well.
Oh, no, but now tying a bow tie, that's slick. Like, if you know how to tie a bow tie, not just one of them clip on ones, the ones that like hook.
Oh, come on, side. Oh, man. Oh, okay, you got me on that.
I mean, legit, tie a real bow tie. Like, that's legit, man.
That will only impress the ladies. That will impress me as well.
Yeah, I definitely, I mean, I know how to tie one, but like, I was like at a wedding and like a young man, you know, I say young man, like I'm old, was like a younger cat, like, 18, 20, came up and tied it like in the mirror, like right next to me. I'm like, what, bro? Come on, man. Yo, that's where it's at. That's what very dignified move. So like T said, like you always need to have your tie game up, and there's like 20 different ways.
That's so many different ways. You look on different social media sites. There's, you know, like you said, there's 10, 15, 20 different ways to tie a tie. And I mean, they're all, some of them look real cool. Some of them I would never do. Yeah. It looks too, I mean, kind of too gaudy, but.
Yeah. Some of them are out there, like really, really out there. Go online, tie, you know what I'm saying? Just take it. Like if you ain't doing nothing, you're just chilling. Maybe it's on when you're like your rest day or something like that. Just go out on the internet, Google it, and just figure out a tie, like a style, a double winter
or single winter tie, yeah, like, whatever it is.
Find you a style that's cool for you, yeah, like when you go out on like dates and stuff like that, and like when you're not in the wedding, because when you're in the wedding, like don't try to show out. It's not your day. Mm-hmm. Like just do the regular joint.
Don't outshine the groom.
Yeah, just do your regular joint. But like when you out, like you know what I'm saying, business meeting stuff like that, man, show your stuff, man. Show your stuff. Go out there, tie it however you want to. That's slick because it's a statement. Just like girls and like, well, I don't want to say girls. And girls and guys. But like shoes, statement. Your jacket, your blazer, whatever, statement. Your hair, statement. Your tie, statement.
Exactly.
So you want, you know what I'm saying, you're making a solid statement with the way that you tie your tie.
What else would be cool? If you're an older guy and you're dating a lady that has a son, and you know this is his first time trying to put a tie on, he's going somewhere.
Ooh, you're trying to get people in the dating realm. Let's get it.
Like, come here, man. You know, let me show you how to tie that tie. And you show him, and she's looking like, he's probably marriage material. You know, all kind of brownie points.
Bruh, legit. I think everything on this list would impress like a female, like on an outing.
Mm, yeah.
From what I've seen so far. So number two, that's why this is why I say it. So number two, like if you have an outgoing lady, like you're you know, according an outgoing lady likes to go out on hikes, you know, camping, fishing, stuff like that. The number two thing is learn how to build a campfire. Now a lot of people don't know how to build a campfire, and I mean camping is changed dramatically, over the years. A camper, RV, go out there. I mean, which is still, you know, like camping, but not like old school like camping. And imagine that on a date when you just out there, you hiking or whatnot, and then y'all got to build this shelter because bad weather done rolled through, but you need some heat. And then you're like, I got this.
Yeah. Heaven forbid it's an emergency situation or you know, wrecked off the side of the road somewhere, your car broke down on the back road.
And horrible date situation.
And it's wintertime or something. You know, it could be you and your family. You know, you're out and about, you know, you're going to grandma's house and you're cutting through the back 40 of the park or something like that. And you break down and, you know, cell signal. And you build a fire and you say, you know, keep your family warm.
That is the reason why I think it is. It's not necessarily mandatory because if you're just a big city person, I mean, it still could help, you know, if you ever want to take a vacation. But like if you're in the city and you just love the city, you really don't like countryside, there are people out there like that. Mm-hmm. Like if you like that kind of situation, then I mean, this might not be a high on the list of priorities of things that you know want to learn. But if you do learn it, you're only expanding your mind and you have a skill there that no one can take away, you know, because you never know what might happen on family vacations or dates because the girl of your dreams might be an avid camper. Mm-hmm. And you might need it.
An outdoors person.
Right. So moving on to number three. This is honestly so simple, like because I do it like all the time.
You'd be surprised, though, how many people can't.
This is it's ridiculous. Number three is hang a picture. Hang a picture. So if you don't know how to put nail to stud,
they got kids to do it.
Jeez, they making kids. Yes, it's so easy. I
mean, got the little
nail to stud.
Yeah. You can just put a nail in the wall.
Hang your picture because there's even little latches on the back. Most of the time, there's latches on the back of the picture that, you know what I'm saying, you just put on the nail.
You can use one of those little 3M hooks.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Something so basic, but you'd be surprised how many people homes I've gone into and could you put these pictures up for me?
Right. And that's one of the ways where it applies to your life, gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
Or say you're getting into, because now a lot of things are going to the internet, stuff like that. And you need to have, like, especially if you're like working from home, sometimes you need to have a nice looking background. You know, that you can show off, or, you know what I mean? Like if you're doing streaming, mm-hmm. you know, Twitch, Facebook, any kind of live streaming, you need to have something nice in the background and no posters. Like this is not the 80s anymore. Like just sticking up.
Can't have Farrah Fawcett poster on the back. On the
wall. I mean, you can have a Farrah Fawcett if you want to, for sure. Like that. I'm not saying no to a Farrah Fawcett yeah. poster, but what you would like to do is have something like nice, some professional, you know, some real nice art in the back. Show that you're, you know, you're a man of culture, whether it be a custom Star Wars piece or a replica Van Gogh. You still need to be able to know how to post that, put that up on the wall.
Something nice you found at Ross.
You go, come on, now, yeah. Get into these picture hanging festivities, man.
I mean, but it's something so simple you would think it everybody would know how to do it, but there are actually some people who can't. But come on, people, get out your comfort zone and give it a try. Watch a video. 2 seconds.
What's number four?
Number four is actually shine your shoes.
I know. And where'd you learn to shine your shoes at?
I learned to shine my shoes from my dad when I was younger because he worked for the city, and they had to have shine shoes because he worked for the Bureau of Corrections, and he had to have, you know, shiny shoes and stuff. So I just learned from him, but I perfected the craft in the military because then I had to have shiny shoes.
That's where I got mine. Yeah. That's literally where I learned how to shine boots and shoes and leather spit shine. You know what I'm saying, with the oils and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So that's where I learned, and like I. Sometimes I have to watch myself because I'll still try to do the shiny toe.
Yeah.
And the rest of the boot is just like regular.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it just had no Kiwi Touch this thing in about 3 years.
Like, dang it, man. I can't. No, because I have some leather boots, and like I did it to it at first. I was like, oh, crap. Now I got to spend, you know, 30 more minutes getting the rest of the boot to look like the front of the boot. So shining your shoes, guys, it's a good look, man. Because, like, when you do go on dates and stuff like that, women do. They look
that's the
way
you dress.
That's the
first thing they look at is a man's shoes. They look at his shoes.
How is it? You know what I'm saying? How's his cleanliness? You know what I'm saying? How's he looking? How's he dressing? And, like, this doesn't mean, like, you know what I'm saying, when you go out on a date, man, get suited and booted. I mean, if y'all doing something nice, for sure, go for it. Go into, like, opera, art gallery, something like that. Nice dinner, nice restaurant. Swing for the fences. But if you're just, you know, if you're going out and you got some nice leather boots on, which you should have.
Yeah.
That is one thing you should have. In your clothing arsenal, you should have some leather boots, some leather, you know, shoes somewhere. They're classic, classy, and you can put them on in a lot of different situations, a lot of outgoing situations. So, definitely, guys, women look at it, take care of your boots, take care of your shoes, because you don't want a date to start off on the wrong foot. Where is it?
You got hit. Hit
it again.
There you go. That's it.
There it is.
Oh, man.
Dad jokes.
There you go.
All right. So give us number five. Thank you, military. Thank you, Navy, for showing me how to shine my boots and my leather.
Next one here kind of goes back to the outdoors, and it is treat a snake bite. To me, that one's
okay. We do. I don't know. I honestly don't know this. This would be so. Let me just say this before you get into it. It could be either of us. If one of us hasn't done one of these things or knows how to do one of these things on this list of 100, we have to go out and we have to go do it. We have to put it up on like Instagram or something.
Well, we've come to one that I don't know how to do, and thank God I have. I'm not slitting it and sucking out the poison and all that stuff. No, I'm gonna put a tourniquet on it. Maybe.
Is that how you do it?
I don't know. I'm gonna slap a tourniquet on it. Tell you to calm yourself down so your blood doesn't, you know, race and get some poison up through your system and everything like that. That's all I know to do.
But they say don't try to suck the poison out.
Yeah, exactly.
If you get bitten by a snake,
if you swallow it or something like that.
All I know to do is find the snake, see what it looks like, and then call the animal, like animal authorities.
Yeah.
Tell them you were bit and what you got bit by or what the snake looked like. Take it to the hospital.
Yeah.
And then I believe poison control, or they have some things there at the hospital that deal with that kind of thing. Other than that, I'm sorry, bro. Like,
yeah, I mean, I think I heard, saw two or read somewhere about if you see like two little punctured wounds, then it's probably a poisonous snake. But if you like rolls of teeth or whatever, then it's probably just, you know, it's non-venomous snake and it just bit you.
If you got bit by a snake, guys,
yes, please go get it checked out by the doctor
ASAP, immediately.
We're not doctors or professionals, so, you know.
Yeah, disclaimer.
Common sense.
Yeah. So, get bit by a snake. Go immediately to that. Don't be like, eh, well, you know, I don't feel anything. It can go from okay to almost dead in like minutes. So, it's serious. Get it checked. And I'd rather it be a snake from a garden snake, and you laugh at it rather than you put it off and find out that it was a poisonous snake and you, now you have neurological damage.
Yeah, wind up losing limb or life, and we don't want that.
All right, so number six.
Number six is read a book. You know, and again, this one seems so straightforward, but to me, reading a book, I like reading for information personally. A lot of people like reading, you know, for romance novels and, you know, and science fiction and all this stuff. I like reading how to books, you know, how to fix my car. You know, I get the manual from the auto parts place on how to read my, you know, how to fix my car. I like that kind of thing. You know, or self-help type books and things like that. I love that. But so far as, you know, reading for pleasure, I really don't do that.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem easy, but with people's attention span nowadays, it is really difficult for some people. And then you talk about people who like have ADHD, ADD. It sometimes does get difficult trying to sit down and read a book and really understand and take away all the sometimes complex thought processes that are in the book and internalize them and then be able to, no, regurgitate that out.
Yeah.
So I do understand it. So, like, if you don't necessarily know how to, you know, read a book and fully understand the concepts of the book and withhold that information, practice.
Yes.
You know what
I
mean? Yeah. If you can read on social media, you can read a book as well.
Yeah.
Don't let the words give you, like, a page full of words give you anxiety. Just take your time. You know, sometimes it just starts off, you know, maybe a couple of pages a day. And then you get to maybe a chapter a day, a couple of chapters a day, and then you'll be on there from there. And honestly, the more you read, the better you can articulate your thoughts.
Exactly.
So, guys, definitely learn how to read a daggone book.
And increase your vocabulary as well. You know, you expand your vocabulary. You know, you articulate things better, and it makes you a more well-rounded person the more you know.
What's the last book you read?
Oh, good gosh, the Bible.
Mine was The Art of War.
Okay.
So, I mean, literally, like, I don't read too as much as I should, like, books, because I'm, like, so into, like, reading about, like, you know, like the internet stuff, like, getting my information, getting it, and then implementing it into my life. But when I do get downtime, like, I'm playing Rainbow Six, so I probably should cut off some of my Rainbow Six time and read some more.
See, it shows we average people just like everybody else. The same thought of you guys are thinking the exact same thing.
Yeah.
I haven't read a book in 20 years. I haven't read books since I left high school. But you know something? You can pick up a book and start reading.
Heck yeah.
You know, it's like riding a bicycle.
There's still bookstores out there, and you can order online. I'm not saying that wherever you are, there's books readily available because of the changing times and whatnot. You know, libraries, bookstores, stuff like that are kind of scarce in some regions, which is a travesty. But there's still ways to, you know, get your book, get your read on. Number seven, survive a bear attack. I heard if it's brown, lay down. If it's black, fight back. I don't know if that's correct, incorrect. I'd have to ask a professional. I don't know how you become a professional in surviving bear attacks, but
you're gonna have to try it.
Yeah. Go into the mountains in Tennessee.
I got the zoom lens. I'll be way back. Lay down.
What if the, like, and that would suck. Like, it was a black bear, but it was like dirty.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, it's brown. Just lay down and just.
Yeah. Like, just wallowing in the mud to kind of get the bugs in and take us off of him.
Yeah, it just takes you out.
Oh, man. What about
lunch?
What about a polar bear?
You're dead.
What about a koala bear?
Oh, they'll die. They'll kill themselves. They're the only bear that eats poisonous food. That's their main diet is poison foods. The food that is poisonous to them. But it's a travesty.
Panda bear.
Panda bears. I don't know. I don't think. I haven't seen too many aggressive videos.
I've heard that they are pretty aggressive. You know, they're just as dangerous as the other bear. You know.
Well, I'm probably not going to see any bear anytime soon. In Alaska, I've seen some bears in like dumpsters and trash cans and stuff like that. But I've been always lucky to see them from a distance or see them from the safety of my vehicle.
Yeah, think about it. I haven't seen a bear in the wild ever.
You haven't?
Mm-mm. Seen them at the zoo plenty.
That's good. That's good, because if you saw one in the wild, we might not be having that podcast.
Well, I mean, it depends. You know, if it's way over there somewhere, then hey, cool. But
yo, them things, they're fast, especially when they're hungry. They're fast. Like, I'm not outrunning a bear.
Well, I hope film there with somebody else. I don't have to outrun the bear. I just got to outrun them.
Just trip them. I'll remember you. Yeah.
Somebody has to live to tell the story.
Somebody do.
All right. Yeah, we're going to get you up there and try that one. All right.
Psych.
The next one on the list is wet shave.
Yeah, now, another military story for me, because like I really didn't shave before. I went into the military when I was 18.
Yeah.
So the whole, like, even just having facial hair in high school was like, oh, yeah, that's it. And your barber would, like, line you up, you know, your little peach fuzz up. But then you get into the military, it's like,
no, it all just got to go away.
I don't care if it's peach fuzz, man. You gotta get rid of that.
But they're my only two hairs.
Yep, gone.
Bye.
Gone. But what they didn't tell you is once you start shaving, that stuff comes back like wildfire. Mm. It comes back like ragweed. So that's where I learned to wet shave. So guys, shaving, it's definitely a skill. It's definitely a skill that you should at least know how to do. Doesn't mean that you have to, especially like us living here down in the country. A lot of guys like beards, you know, have your beard, you know, be a shaggy, scruffy backwoodsman, you know, country log splitting, lumberjack, boulder carrying kind of men.
Bear fighting.
Right. Well, you can keep that.
You ever shave with a straight razor?
I have not.
I haven't either. We got to try it.
I'll find a barber to do it.
No, we're gonna have to try.
I'll cut myself. Why do, man? I'll flip.
We'll do it in front of the hospital, just in case.
In the parking lot, exactly where we need to be. All right. That's number eight. Number nine, parallel park.
Yes, Lord.
If you're listening right now and you drive a vehicle, and you don't know how to parallel park, we need you to retake the test. there's a lot of situations where like you learn how to parallel park and then you never use it again.
Yeah.
Especially like, once again, we're out here in rural Georgia. So like there's not a whole lot of parallel parking. But as the world expands and that everything is kind of getting closer and more compact, more city life esque, if you go down to Macon, you go to downtown Macon, sometimes there's you have to parallel you might have to parallel park. So learning how to parallel park is paramount, guys.
Yes, because we want y'all to get out and explore this world. Not just your little small town you're living in, but get out, go to the big city, and do some stuff.
And we're gonna do it. Just to show you guys.
New York, Chicago.
You know, I do, like, full disclosure, I have some form of travel anxiety. So anytime I, like, get on the road, I start getting anxious. Like, it starts off with, like, did I forget anything? Am I going the right way? Is there going to be traffic? And it just builds on from there. Especially getting on a plane, I start thinking about all kinds of stuff. Because I did aircraft maintenance, and I know how some people cut corners on certain things. And actually, caveat, there was a video of Spirit Airlines. Mm. Guys, stop flying Spirit. Let them go out of business. One of their jets, one of the engines caught on fire during their landing and approach, And people are like trying to get off the plane and they're not even like docked. And people are panicking and yelling at people. The plane is on fire. Like, well, they know. The pilot and the crew knows that the plane is on fire because in that cockpit, what you're not hearing is this blaring alarms going off. But
and the tiles probably yelling them to, hey, you're on fire.
people wilding out. Y'all gonna learn. Stop flying Spirit. But anyway, parallel parking. Whenever you're going out, especially if you're, you know, taking a lady out. Like I'm still. Mm-hmm. I liked where you were going with the whole like dating scheme because of, you know, how the world is right now and in dating prospects and stuff like that. You don't want to be in a position where you're at a nice restaurant or whatever. You get a premier spot, but it's a parallel parking spot right next or right in front of the restaurant, and you're not able to do it.
And you don't want your lady to get out and say, hey, let me do it.
Let me guide
you. Not guide. You say, get out, let me do it.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there with your head hanging down going, man, I can't believe this. I got to let my lady parallel park.
You over there trying to fake the fuck like, oh, yeah. they ain't got valet service here? I know. I thought this was a 5-star restaurant.
I got a crick in my neck. I can't turn my head to look how to parallel park.
Don't embarrass yourself. this literally learning this is like, it's not even an hour's worth of time of just going to a parking lot and learning how to do it. So take some time out, guys. Learn some new skills,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
That's what all this is about. So we're going on because we don't want this to be an hour-long thing. Mm. You know, we're trying to get you this information so you can get out there and you can accomplish.
We're at halfway mark.
Halfway mark. Cool.
And what's number 10?
Paddle a canoe. I have not paddled a canoe, so this is something
I have a long time ago. Boy Scouts.
Where was this at?
Here in Georgia when I was a Boy Scout. And we didn't do anything. We just got in there and paddled. But basically, you know, side to side and everything. You got the back steer. You stick it in the water. You can.
Is it different than paddling a raft?
Well, it depends on, you know, if you got oars and you got the two sides. You don't do that with the canoe. With the canoe, you kind of, you know.
Your left one and side?
Right. Yeah. Left, you know.
Oh, left and right. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. 100%. Haven't done it. So, guys, we're writing this down. We're going to go canoeing. And I am going to learn how to row a canoe solo.
There you go.
Hopefully I don't flip it over. But if it's anything like a raft, then I'll be good. I'll be straight.
And a lot of the stuff that we're talking about, guys, is great stuff that you can show your son or your sons or even your daughters, you know, your kids, your children, your nieces and nephews and all of them. Say, oh, Uncle so-and-so or Dad, you know, he can do this. It's cause cool stuff that, you know, your kids can look up and you say, wow, you know, Dad knows how to do all this stuff, you know. So it's not just for you. It's something you can also, a skill or technique or thing that you can pass on to your kids.
Right. 100%. So I'm already seeing this right now because we're having such a good time and we're trying to give you not just the points, but we're trying to give you some information about these points, where they can be utilized. And we want to give you guys the best opportunity to help yourselves out and figure out for you what's best for your situation. You know what I mean? Because I don't want to rush just giving you stuff for the sake of just having, like, you know, rushed, forced content.
Yeah, just give me just for the just, sake yeah, of content.
Just doing it. Like, I really want you guys to, like, elevate with us. You know what I'm saying? Like, come with us, elevate. Let's do these things. Like I said, there's some things on this list that I haven't done, but I'm going to do. And even with my travel anxiety, I'm going to show you guys it is possible. And it's going to, honestly, I already know, learning how to row a canoe, I'm going to utilize that later on, whether it be, you know, a date trip or, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, my son, you know what I mean? Anything like that. So we're going to do, because what it looks like is we're going to get to 15 instead of 20. So what we're going to do, we're going to break it down. We're going to do 15 an episode so we're not rushing through these and we can give you guys some cool, cool information. So going on to the next one. What's the next one?
Negotiate and haggle.
Negotiate and haggle. Places that you would want to negotiate and haggle, definitely in this market, house, car, if you're, you know, moving from one place to another, any kind of like garage sale, going to the pawn shop, anything like that, learn how to haggle just so you can get the best price if you can. Like, there's no better feeling than to go into a pawn shop, see something that you really like, and be able to haggle for less than the ticket price and walk out of there a winner in the situation.
But it also applies in when you're in the store, excuse me, you can see a damaged or dented something item. You see a floor model. You can, you know, speak with the manager and you can negotiate and haggle with them about getting a discount on that as well.
Yeah, because most of the time, if you just ask for the manager automatically had there's room that they give you as far as like a discount, like a store discount, managerial discount, employee discount, whatever. There's already a discount set in place just in case you guys aren't happy with the product. So always keep that in mind. You pick something up and the box is damaged or something like that. You don't know whether or not the delivery person or even the store associate threw that box or threw that package and damaged what's on the inside. So you're taking that risk getting it. That's what you tell them. You don't know. Yeah. It could be perfectly fine in there. If you're smart, you'll actually open the box and look and see if the item is damaged in any kind of way and see if it works before you go purchase it. But before you go purchase it, let them know, like, hey, this is it's basically you're getting like an open box discount on it.
So the box is damaged, the item might be damaged.
Correct. So learn how to haggle, guys. Use it to the best of your abilities. Don't try to haggle any kind of like
I was going to say you got to learn how to negotiate with your partner. On to the next subject.
Negotiate with a partner, huh? Mm-hmm.
Well, you know,
or like compromise. Let's use that word, because if you say woman or man, we need to negotiate.
You got to negotiate.
We need to negotiate.
I want to go out tonight with the fellas. You know, and I'll let you go out tomorrow night with the guy with the ladies.
Compromise. Use compromise. Do not use we need to negotiate. unless you're a funny character, you could get away with it. If you're like being serious,
effectively communicate.
Yeah, we need to effectively communicate through this matter.
Oh yeah.
Number 12.
Fix a leaky faucet. I could do that all day standing on my head, no problem.
Yeah. So tacked on to fixing a leaky faucet. Make sure you have a nice tool set. Yes. Get yourself a nice set tool set. Don't get the cheap Walmart one that's got like
Dollar Tree or Family Dollar.
Get you a decent one.
Yeah, with the faucets, there's a lot of different things that could be wrong. It could be, you know, the line could be loose or the valve itself, the stems, anything. There's a lot of different parts of. That could be faulty. A lot of times, the best, simplest, easy thing to do is just replace the whole thing. Because a lot of times, after it's been sitting there for a long time, you're like, you know what? I need a new look. Let me just replace the whole thing. And that's the simplest, easiest way. I ain't gonna say the easiest way because there's a little bit more to it than just that. But to me, that's just the best way to do it. Get yourself a new look, new faucet.
I'm gonna go online and find somebody around here who's got a leaky faucet. And then we're gonna have you fix it. Tell them to buy the materials, and we're gonna put it on, and we're gonna watch you fix it.
I just replaced two about 3 weeks ago at my friend's house. I replaced the one in the kitchen. No, sorry, I didn't replace the one in the kitchen. I replaced the one in the bathroom, and I think it was the garbage disposal or something. I took the garbage disposal out and just put the line back in, just to bring the trap in there. But anyway,
handyman, but. You want to learn these thing, this thing in particular, fellas, because you don't want to call a plumber in there. And if you don't, it's just like your car. If you call somebody to come in there and fix something, it's their job to capitalize on that situation and find something else so they can monetize all their time over there and get more out of you than just fixing a leak.
But even if they don't try to take advantage of you, there's a minimum charge they're going to have. It literally may be your line may be just loose. It may not even be bad or nothing. They just go in there and tighten it, and it's going to be like $80 or whatever, $100 just because they came out two seconds to tighten the line. And
now they're sleep underneath your sink.
Yeah.
Racking up the hours.
Exactly. He spends 2 hours and he just tighten the line. Oh, yeah, well, you had a rat nest in here. They chewed your line and all the kind of crazy stuff. And none of that didn't happen. They just went in there and tightened it up and wipe your line down. Say they put a new one. They're charging for a new line and replacing it. And $200 later, you know, shame on them. But it happens.
It happens.
But there's honest
plumbers. Don't let it happen to you.
There's honest, you know, skilled people out there that do things. So we're not, you know, knocking anybody that does things on the up and up. But there are some people who will take advantage of you.
In order for that not to happen, learn how to fix a leaky faucet.
Hey, elevate yourself. Learn a new skill. Get out of your comfort zone. Do something a little different. Go and try it. You know, as long as you know what the water shut off is, you're good. Turn that water off. You mess up, turn the water off. Then call somebody.
Hell.
Get the floaties out. No, just kidding. Jeez. All right, next on the list. Number 13, treat a burn.
Okay, so how do you treat a burn?
I really don't even know.
All right.
I always put cold water on it. That's all I know to do.
So since we're not going to have you burn yourself or anything, so you can treat it or anyone else. Basically, you keep it cool.
Mm-hmm.
Don't put it in ice cold water, anything like that. Just put it in some regular cool, lightly cooled water. Keep it cool. Don't pop the blisters. Once you start blistering,
I know that. Yeah, yeah.
Do not pop the blisters.
That, yeah.
But after you cooled it down, make sure you get plenty of ointment on it, and then wrap it for a little bit. Get the ointment in there, and then give it some air, and you just leave it alone. I know it's going to suck. It's going to hurt. You can get you some pain meds or anything like that. But what we're trying to do is heal the burn effectively without you getting an infection. So covering it also helps with you not, you know, bursting anything, cutting yourself, and then getting any kind of debris inside of it. And you putting it in cold water usually gets most of the debris out. Say you burned it on, you know, your grill or something like that. Put it in that cold water, get that debris off, then put you some ointment on it, keep it cool, wrap it, booyakasha, give it some time, it'll be good.
My thing on it is if you burn on something, if it's hot, there's probably not too much of a chance of an infection directly from that thing because any type of...
cauterized.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like that. But everything is, you know, I'm saying like, you know, you use heat to sterilize stuff.
Yeah,
so whatever is burning, but once it's opened up, then, you know, air can get in and, you know, all kind of, you know, impurities in the air. That's good information. And hopefully I won't ever have burned myself. It's been so long. I burned myself before. It's been so many years ago that.
You just let it go.
Rub some
dirt on it and let's go.
Roll around a little bit. I'll be all right. The next one, get into one of my favorites.
Yeah.
The next one is tell a joke.
All right. Tell a joke.
Tell a joke. All right.
You got a joke?
Yeah. It's, you know, those dad jokes. You know, what did the fish say when it bumped into the wall?
What did it say?
Damn.
Dad jokes.
And what did the wall say when the fish bumped into it? Dumb ass.
God, come on. Come on, son. Come on, son.
That's enough for that.
Yo, so telling a joke, being able to tell a joke, guys, is not necessarily like, you know, key, like you it's always going to be necessary, but it's a really good icebreaker. You know, especially with like people that do like, you know, Tinder, online dating, stuff like that, you know, being original, coming up with something funny, and even like if you have to listen to some of your friends that you be on like online with and social media, some of these memes, hilarious. Yeah. Like just take a couple of those, man, something that resonates with you and use them, utilize them. Because when you're talking to a lady, that could be the one thing that made you stand out and make her want to talk to you. Rather than, you know what I'm saying, talk to the egotistical gym bro, which, I mean, we love you guys, gym bros. We need you guys in the community. But with guys who aren't gym bros and just, you know, living a, you know, regular life or whatnot, then you gotta come up with something. I don't have abs. I got these jokes.
Yeah, ladies love a guy with a sense of humor. You know?
Right. Ladies love to have fun, man.
Yes, yes. But you know, it's about timing and, you know, practice and
timing
and delivery. You know, it's got to be right.
Yeah, 100%. So learn how to tell a joke. Yeah, sure. Me, I'm not necessarily like a dad joke kind of person. I'm more of a like a storytelling joke. More like a Kevin Hart. I'm telling a story, and the story just happens to be funny. Yes. So, I should probably start. You know what I'm gonna do for this guys? I'm going to do a stand up set. On an open mic. I'll do a stand-up just for this one. So I'm going to write that down.
We're going to do a comedy set, a comedy podcast.
I just want to do a set. You know what I'm saying? Just like just a comedy set. Give me about 10 minutes, like a tight 10, and I'll be in there.
So I'm more like of a situational comedian. Like if you're doing something or saying something, then I could just insert something funny in it. Not so much as a joke, but it's like, you just put a little spin on that, made it funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a counterpunch joker.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Got you. All right, number 15.
Number 15.
The last one for this one.
For this podcast is, I don't know how you're going to do it, but it's predict the weather.
Well, I mean, I don't know necessarily if it's like, just saying like, well, next week it's going to rain because, you know, I smelled the north wind blowing. Like, I do believe what they're talking about here. Like,
tell them when it's going to rain, something like that.
When you see the clouds rolling, you see the direction of where they're going, like, well, it might not rain over in this area, but where we're going, it might be flooded.
Yeah.
So, like, here, it happened last weekend. I was telling everybody they were trying to go out to Macon, and Macon is the next city to us to the north. And so I was like, it's going to rain. It's going to be heavy rain in Macon. So whatever you're trying to do, it better not be outside. They're like, oh, no, the rain will pass. Da, 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 da. I said, no, it's not. It won't. Because I just saw, like, how the clouds were moving and, like, how the rain was forming around, you know, the city.
Yeah, they move it through kind of slow, so it's going to be there.
Yeah, it's going to be. It's going to be there. So that's basically what they're saying. Yeah. So, like, if you're out, you know, camping and stuff like that, and the light chance of showers, because meteorologists have proven to be wrong on many occasions. But if you see it coming, most likely that is the universe telling you, hey, you need to warn everybody else. Make sure you got everything tied down. You know, make sure you get to some shelter. You know, because you don't want in any situation for your campground to get rained out and you're not prepared for it. You don't want to be out on a date on the town. And, you know, I mean, it could make for some memories. Yeah. You know, some
out in your canoe.
You know, kissing in the rain, singing in the rain kind of situation. But, you know, for the most part, you want to keep your, you know, your good clothes and, you know, your stuff dry. You don't want to smell like wet dog and coming into an establishment drenched. So that's what I believe they're saying about predicting the weather. Any other thoughts about that?
No, that's about it, because I'm thinking the same thing. I mean, I don't know what else you can predict other than maybe rain or snow. That's about it.
Yeah. Snow is difficult, though. Snow is difficult.
I never lived in a snowy area for that long.
In Alaska, it's just cloudy. It's just like there's clouds over and it's cold. So it can like start
that gray sky kind of look.
Yeah, just dropping snow on you from anywhere. So it's kind of difficult to predict that. So guys, predicting the weather, it's just using common sense. A lot of these things, some of these things, not a lot. Some of these things are just common sense. Look up in the sky, like, oh, snap, it doesn't look good. Or, oh, man, it looks like it's going to be a hot day. There's no cloud cover. I might need to bring an umbrella. Or if we're going to be sitting out in the park listening to, you know, jazz music, jazz in the park or something like that.
You get a tornado warning or watch and you outside, then the wind starts picking up real heavy. Like,
unless you're a storm chaser, man. Get you some cover, man. Yeah, get you some cover.
Get the cover.
So, guys, we're elevating here, man. We're getting all this information to you. Yeah. Make sure that, you know, you try some of these things. You know what I mean?
If you don't know how to do them, like you said, go out and try them. You know, elevate yourself, lift yourself up. You know, make yourself that much of a better person.
Man, we got so much more to go. We have 100 more of these points. Well, we have 100 points. Yeah. We did 15.
Math. How many more is that?
We did 15. So
I'm taking my shoes off to keep count. No, okay, go ahead. No, I got the 10. I kicked my shoes off. No.
So, man, be tuned in. Be tuned in for the next episode, man. We're going from 16 all the way to
30.
Yeah,
16 to 15. Maybe 15. Go a little bit faster.
Know? Just depending. But we're not trying to rush anything. We're not trying to, you know what I'm saying, just get through this. We really want to give you guys some good information so you guys can go out there, live your best lives, enjoy your life. This is the only one we have to live. Man, let's make it happen. Man, and the more you learn how to do, the more you expand your territories and your horizons, the more these ladies are going to look at you like a man of culture.
Oh, yeah.
Man, we love you guys, man. We are the Millionaires. Yo, you can catch us in a city near us.
Love yourself. Love each other.
Yeah. Man, we love you more, though.
Yes, we do.
Peace out, homies.
Peace.